And go ahead and pull it. But we did. We had a real good time yesterday at the ministers' meeting, and it was very useful, I think, to help understand some of the things and all. And the brothers were all speaking very nicely about the situations and all like that of what people are believing, how Brother Branham, you know, was hunting on the wrong dates and the stuff like that. And, you know, it's just... it's just the devil in this hour trying to break down everything he can, you know. And if that's all he can attack, it's something like that, then, you know, that's praise the Lord, you know, if that's all, you know. And a brother used to, was trying to pick on me one time, and he couldn't find nothing to pick on me about, and he started on my family. So I said, well, okay, you know, the Lord take care of that. But let's just read our, let's pray and read our scripture and get right into our thought and carry on. And be much in prayer for Brother Bill and them as they're traveling, and that the Lord would bless them and guide them. The next minister's meeting will be there at Brother Bill's in a couple of months, and it will be on one of my favorite topics. It will be on Daniel's 70 weeks, and we've done been asked to come and wait in line to speak. You know, they let you speak like 45 minutes or an hour, and then go into eating and then, you know, fellowship together and others speaking and all like that. So just be much in prayer that the Lord would bless. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day and your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for everything, Father, that you've given us, and we know you give it to us freely. So we pray now that you would just bless as we read your word, that, Lord Jesus, you would come on the scene and speak to each one of our hearts and lives. Bless Brother Tim and Brother Bill, our Lord, as they're traveling, giving them a safe journey, Lord, home. Let all be well. And we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1:1-3, and then to 1 Peter. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep, watch now, keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Right, now we'll go over to 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Trying to speak on the revelation of Jesus Christ, because that's what the whole book is. We're speaking on the book and trying to, you know, bring some things out and get some understanding upon it. And now we spent some time this past Wednesday night talking about Kinsman Redeemer, and we didn't finish that. We just brought it up into a point to put your minds to thinking, and we will get to that later, more of the Kinsman Redeemer, and talk about that. But what have we seen? Now, we went through chapter 4, you know, or chapter of Revelations, and saw all of the things and the symbols and the understandings and the things. And then we have come now to the 5th chapter. And dealing then with this 5th chapter, we are trying to look and see more about where we're at and what we're doing. So if you will, brother, go ahead and pull up to Revelations 5, and we'll read that. because we want to speak on more on it, but there's just something that struck me, and I've got to try to cover this to be able to get on to another. But in Revelations 5:1, it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals." And then you go through a strong angel proclaiming and the different things. But the main part is to get to where it says, "And one of the elders," verse 5, "saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Now, we talked about this past Wednesday, you know, that there was a throne, and there was one sitting on the throne. And then there was a book in the right hand of the one that was sitting upon the throne. And we covered, giving Brother Branham paragraph 116 through 118 of the breach. I wish you would read the breach over and over, you know, and look at it and see what he's talking about, and read, if you get a chance, or listen to the tape of Revelations chapter 4 and chapter 5, preached back about 61. And it would really help you to understand the things I'm trying to bring out. But we saw that book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne was the abstract title deed to eternal life and the earth and all of the things, you know, and it was the book of redemption. All right? And we saw then, as we went along, we got to paragraph 267 of the Church Age book, or Sardisian Age is where it really is at, and found that there was only names written in that book. All right? But then we spent the time trying to bring it down, as we read then from the prophet, where he said there was only names written in the book, and then he said it was the Bible. All right? Then we were trying to bring out to get us to understand that the Bible then would be the book of life, and that would have in that book of life a record of that name that was in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world, and in the hand of the one on the throne, that the Bible then would be bringing it down to show the life, or the what's going on in the world and things, while that name would be here, you know, that would be just a book of names. All right? And see, then it would be the Bible, and the Bible then would be the book of life. All right? And it would have two sections to it, which would be the eternal section, which is the Lamb's book of life, you know, eternal section, and then it would be the book of life, which is a record upon earth of our lives and what's going on. So then you can call it the Bible, and that's fine, because that's what it is. It's that doing. But we found then, we got down to just hitting this at the last, and Brother Branham said on paragraph 75 of the breach, he said, "Now that book is sealed," and said, "You're sealed with a book." All right? Now, this is something that I've been driving at, so I want you to pay close attention for a few minutes of what that I'm speaking. Then to break the seals, I know it reveals what has been, what is, and what shall come. It reveals the whole plan, reveals all of the, because it's in the Bible, the whole plan of redemption, everything coming forth. But you think about it. If the book is sealed, and you're sealed in the book, what is he talking about? You're sealed with the book. The book being the Bible, or the book being the book of redemption. All right? And see, it's sealed. All right? And you're sealed with the book. So then to break the seals, see, as I've tried my best to express to you for 40-something years, or nearly 40 years at least, that the seals is not the revealing of the Antichrist. The seals is the revealing of Jesus Christ. It doesn't even read in Revelation 1, you know, where it says that the revelation that God gave to Jesus of the Antichrist. It doesn't even speak of that. Just what everybody's trying to find or see or what it is. And they're trying to make the seals and the things being the revealing of the Antichrist. Well, that's not true. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ. All right? See, then if it's true what the prophet had to say, that the bride is part of the book, Christ the mystery of God revealed, and she's to be revealed, and he's not complete without you, I still got some of these things to bring on a little in a later message. Brother Run said, the Godhead's not complete without you. All right? And see, then there's, in that book that's there is a book of names. So your name is in the book. All right? Now, we know it's not Samuel Dale written out, because that's not the name that I had before the foundation of the world. That was the name my mother and daddy gave me. See, Samuel coming from my daddy's name, Sam, and Dale being your family name, you know. Well, see, the book, the prophet said, it's not Armand Neville, said it's, but it's what's going on while Armand Neville is upon the earth. He said, then that means your name is in the book. All right? Now, and that name being in the book, see, then if you're sealed with the book, then why would people have trouble with me trying to explain that the seals is not to reveal in the Antichrist, it's a revealing of Jesus Christ. And to break the seals doesn't reveal the devil, it reveals Jesus Christ and where he's at. See, then you're sealed with the book. That was the point I was trying to get across Wednesday night. You're sealed with the book. All right. So to take the seals off the book, then it would be revealing you. It's revealing your name. Right? He said, no, it's just revealing Jesus Christ. Well, that's exactly right. Because we are Jesus Christ made manifest. So as Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right? Now, so then the bride being part of the book, she's to be revealed. So then we're looking at the book of Revelation to find ourselves, right? This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But it's the revelation of Jesus Christ now where he's at. Because I gave you the quote where Brother Brown said, it's not just a revealing of Jesus Christ as being God. He said, but it's the revealing of Jesus Christ in you. See, to see ourselves and who we are. All right? Now, in doing that then, there's something I want to get across tonight. Don't worry about the kinsman redeemer now. We will get back to that more when we come to the lamb part of it. All right? But I want us to think a little more about that book. You know, about these things. Now, this may be and sound odd and simple, but yet, think on it. Why is it that the book was not taken in the days of Luther, Wesley, or Pentecost, or whatever? Are you listening? See, I like to ask questions, and that way you're thinking. See, it's because the book wasn't finished. Right? See, our age was not finished. Now, so the Lamb can't take the book until the book is finished. That's why I asked you the other day, you know. The people say, oh, in 1963, the seals broke to the prophet, redemption was over. Well, then most of us are lost. Right? But see, then to think that, see, the reason that it was not finished, now, I know you ain't going to, but just think with me. In 1963, our part, your part, my part of the book was not finished. Now, you agree? See, what's of the book that's written about you wasn't written yet, right? So the book wasn't finished. See, that's why I ask you, was redemption over back then, see? See, because as quick as redemption's over, then the Lamb leaves the mercy seat, becomes and takes that book and looses the seals. Well, see, the book's got to be finished before it can be taken. See, Brother Branham was being shown the complete plan of redemption, past, present, and future. See, then the Lamb didn't leave the mercy seat in 63. See, if you believe redemption is still here, then the Lamb hasn't left the mercy seat yet. So I like to put that back in your lap, you know. Not to be sarcastic or hateful, but let you think about it. See, people say, oh, the Lamb left the mercy seat back there in 63. Now, if he did, you're lost, because redemption was over. When he leaves the mercy seat, redemption's over. You agree with that? All right. See, then the book has got to be completed before the Lamb can take the book. That's what I'm asking you to read the breach, and you'll read these things. The prophet would say it like this: the book is finished then. He said the writing inside then is finished. And he said then it's sealed up. Read the breach. All right. See, I say that like that, and then I know that a lot of you don't do it, because you think you're so smart. Now, some are just too smart to say that, well, I'm not just going to read that. I don't have time. Well, then there's another group that comes in the middle and says, well, if I ever do get time, I'll read it. And then the others get, well, I've done read it so many times, don't need to read it no more. And you won't go home and read it. Well, all right, then you won't understand that the prophet is saying the things that I'm saying. But see, you can't, the kinsman redeemer, the Lamb, he can't leave that mercy seat until the last person that's to be saved comes into the body of Christ. All right? See, then the book cannot be taken until it's finished. All right? Now, we read in Mark, let's see. What is it? Mark, what? I wrote it down a while ago. Me and Aaron was talking. I had to write it down. Mark 4 and 28. Jesus is talking about the ear and the corn and different things. He said, and the full corn in the ear. Now, Jesus Christ never went to his death premature. You agree? He was the fully matured seed. You agree with that? All right. See, that's why he couldn't be killed when he was in his early ministry. Couldn't be touched. Why? Because he was not matured. All right. See, it was a fully matured seed that hung on Calvary, the Word. All right? Now, So thinking about that, think on this point that the book wasn't finished in 63, so how could he take it? Because my name and your name had not come forth. Now, some of you may claim redemption before 63, so you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about as a whole, a group. That most of us came along after 63 to claim our redemption. You know, the time of receiving the new birth, etc., would be after the 63. But you see, then Brother Branham is reading the book and being able to look by revelation into the book and see what will take place. He's not telling you what took place in 63. He's telling you what the book says about it. Just like I was trying to express, see, then he can tell us what happened in the garden 6,000 years ago, but he was not back there to see that. See, the book has got to be completed. The last name has got to come in before the Lamb can leave the mercy seat. All right? See, then you see what you're dealing with. So I would get away from my ideas of what I used to think. Because you're saying redemption was over in 63, then most of the people that would even be listening to what I'm talking about would admit you got your salvation after 63, so you'd be saying, I didn't get saved. But see, the book's not complete yet. Right, it was written back there in the Bible that when the towers fall, then the light of the moon would be the light of the moon would be the light of the sun, and the sun would be seven times. See, then there was no way for the world to come, you know, the Gentile dispensation, as we talk about our situation, to come to an end until that took place. Right? Then you had a water gate that they stood before the water gate and read the word. Wording's right out of the Bible that couldn't be until, you know, I mean, that was had to come to pass upon the earth, right? So then the book wasn't complete until that happened. Now, are you listening? I mean, are you paying attention to what I'm trying to say? See, then, until the book is completed, all names are brought in. Then the Lamb can leave the mercy seat. But if there's one name today that's not brought into the body of Christ, the Lamb is still on the mercy seat. But see, something else has to happen. There's something else has to happen. If the book is sealed, and the prophet's right when he said, the book is sealed and you're sealed with the book. Well, see, then the breaking of the seals would be revealing your name. Your time upon earth. All right? But the book, listen, the book has to be completed and then it's sealed. So that's how the book winds up sealed. It's when the life's redemptive name comes in, then the book is sealed. You remember how we tried to go through Jeremiah? Showing that when it would go down into bondage, and they'd take the earthly vessels and they would put the deeds, we'd call them today, down in there, the thing that would describe the properties. And they would wind up then, when they came back out of captivity, they could take out those scrolls, you know, I mean those paperwork out of the earthen vessels, and read who owns what property. Right? And then we talked about where the prophet of God said that that was held in an earthly vessel that was once made flesh. Right? It was once made flesh and came upon the earth. All right? Now, if that be true, then the prophet would be right in what he says. He said, when he walked the shores of Galilee, we was in him. Come on now. We was in him back there. Or we never will be in him. Right? All right. So then, all of the plan of redemption was sealed up in Jesus Christ. So then you and I were sealed up in Jesus Christ. Not these bodies you're looking at. The eternal life of those Genesis 1, 26 and 27 beings, or Galatians 3:16, the being which is the Christ, as it said in Galatians 3:16. So then when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, we were in him. Not his peoples, but the eternal life that he had. And that was sealed up in that vessel. Now, then once it was sealed up, see, then you had to get it out of there. Right? So if we was in him, things that are to be. Brother Run said we was in him. All right. Then if it was, Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead of God, excuse me. Fullness of God manifested. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now listen to it. Therefore, when he came to the earth and was manifested in flesh, you were here in him then, because he was the Word. All right. In the beginning was the Word, and Word was God. And when he walked here, we were in him. We suffered with it. We died with it. All right. Now, but see, we were sealed up. That's wording. We were not there as people. We were part of that eternal life that was living within him. All right. But see, there was a little more connection than just talking about it, because of the next statement your prophet makes. Go ahead to number two, brother. Which is Questions and Answers, Book 1, 1964, 823. And God opened up the side of Jesus at Calvary and took out the bride. Right? And when Jesus died at Calvary, remember, the bride was taken from the body. Well, excuse me. And the bride was not taken from the body until the body was dead. Right? So we were already redeemed in him. Right? Not wanting to get into that part, wanting to get into the part of talking about that we were sealed up in him. You agree that he was John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. And the Word, verse 14, was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld him as the only begotten of the Father. And he was made flesh. Brother Brown said, he is those seals. You remember we gave it to you the other day? The book was sealed. That's why they couldn't understand him when he was here on earth. See, it was sealed away from the people that they couldn't comprehend. That there in an earthly vessel was Almighty God. And the complete plan of redemption could dwell in that human vessel. Brother Brown said, everything Adam lost, Jesus Christ redeemed. Well, see, to get us out, you had to break the seal. Had to pierce the side of the Lord Jesus for the bride to be able to come forth. Right? All right? Now, he was the complete Word. Then he could be sealed up. He was the complete ear of corn, right? The fully matured ear of corn. He was the seed that went into the ground. I'm quoting scriptures, right? And he was sealed up because nobody couldn't see him. They couldn't see God. God was sealed up inside of a man. He could tell them who he was. Unless you believe that I am he. They couldn't see it. So then, when the book was finished, they couldn't touch him until it was done. The work was done. The word was finished. He had fulfilled all the word. And then he paid the price. All right? The bride was in him at that time. And she was released from his body. That she could come forth then in a what? In a many-membered body. He stood and said, lest a corn of wheat falls, dives into the ground, you know, it'll abide alone. Now you don't plant immature corn. You go down to the grocery store and you look there on the shelf and it's got four for a dollar. And you got corn there. And boy, you shuck that off. Man, it's delicious. But don't try to plant it. Right? It's not in the stage yet. See? So the corn of wheat had to die and go into the ground before he could come forth in a multiple form. Then the word that he had gave them at Pentecost for them to understand. I ain't got time to explain that point. Anybody on tape will just have to bear with the point. Didn't that? That fully matured word went into the ground at Nicaea Council. But when Luther came forth, it was only two little shoots. You can't gather it when it's two little shoots. Right? When it comes forth in the tossle and the things, you ain't much there to eat. Then you find a shuck. You go out and look at the shuck and say, oh, I got corn. No. Even when you go out there and see a full ear, and it's ready to eat, you can't plant it. That's why Jesus said the full corn in the ear. He had to be matured before he could be crucified. The book of him and his life had to be written within him. He was the Word. Then he could be sealed. All right? Now, then what about you and I? And you'll see why this thing could never happen until the end time. Luther was two little shoots come up. That's not fully matured. Wesley was the tassel to different things, you know. That's not fully matured. Pentecost, Azusa Street, Pentecost, was the shuck that shelters the corn. And at that stage, the prophet said you could go down in that wheat and look at it. And he said, there in that wheat is a little bitty bud. Or if you were talking about an ear of corn. He said, don't even look like the original. But the shuck's getting closer. But then you got to wait until it comes on over into around here, see, in this part of the country. It's long in about October, November. And you can gather the corn. But still, even if you're not real careful, you've got to take the corn off the stalk before it matures enough to be able to make cornmeal. You can't just go out there and look and see it on the stalk and say, well, oh, that looks good. It looks like it's dried up. It still has a certain greenness to it. Right? So you don't pull it right then, take it down to the cornmeal and make meal out of it. Don't work. You got to wait until it's fully dried. So now you understand it. That's why the Lamb can't take the book until the Word is fully matured. Even though all members could be in. Even though salvation could be there and coming to a close. You still don't have the dryness of the corn. Are you listening? You got to have the fully matured ear of corn before you can even talk about it sealed. And what did we read in Revelation 5:1? A book in his hand, and the book was what? Sealed. So you got to wait until it comes to full maturity. And Brother Brown said that's where our problem is. He said we got to lay in the presence of the Son to get out all of the wetness, in other words. We were over in the Philippines, and I thought it kind of odd, but, you know, they got kind of like we have, maybe a 5-foot section on the sides of the roads that, you know, is kind of paved or asphalt on it. And we were going down through there, and I was looking, and we had done went by and seen all these big granaries where they were, you know, doing just tons and tons of wheat. Because they do a lot of wheat there in the Philippines. And I looked alongside the road, and you know what? They were out there on the side of the road, right where the car's driving right by. Because every day they were allowed to take home a certain amount. That was their pay. A lot of them didn't get money. They could take wheat home with them. But see, the wheat, even though it had been gathered, it was still not matured to make bread. So you know what they would do? They'd lay it right down the side of the road. And you just drive miles. And on both sides of the road is just wheat. Laying on that like a little 5-foot section on each side of the road. I looked at that and I said, what are they doing? Brother Vernon and them said, they're drying the wheat. Said, that's their pay for the day. And said they're drying the wheat to where they can grind it in to make flour. And I thought, well, because I always wondered how it worked out, you know, when they got all that stuff going out there. Have you ever seen where they're doing a lot of it, and especially in the granaries or something, and they got an old ox pulling the thing going around, this crushing it and thing. Well, now you know what that ox does every once in a while. Right. Well, is that your dinner? Right word. All right, wake you up. Okay. But you see, the wheat's got to be fully matured. Even when it's gathered, it is still not at the point to where that you can replant it right then, because it hasn't dried enough. Now, I know a lot of you thinking, oh, I just seen it this and I seen it that. But Brother Hal and us can talk about it. He's back there. He knows. I know exactly what I'm saying, because you don't go out there when you take the corn off at the end of the year, you know, and take it and say, boy, I got it ready to plant. No, it has to lay through the winter. Dries out, then it gets babbled. The next year, you're capable of planting. Are you listening? Jesus was the fully matured seed. All right. Now, he was promised to come from Genesis to be the seed of the woman. See? And become a fully matured seed. But at the same time, there was a promise back there, Brother Brown said, that the word would return. This is in the first seal, third seal, basically more. It starts in the first, but it's basically in the third. Don't you see, church? If you and I, you see what's putting this thing off. You see what the trouble is. It's not laying in the presence of the sun to ripen. We're running with things and trying to keep everything alive and going. That's good. But I want the maturity. Then when the maturity comes, you know how to shout. You know how to shout then. You know what you're shouting about. Wonderful. See? Like I told Brother Bill there today, I said, you know what I've told you, that I've been in a revival ever since I've been in this message. But for 2 years now, I've been praying for God to send a revival in this church right here. That's not a worldwide sweeping revival, is it? I'm not looking for something like that. But Brother Brandon said he'd take those seven unknown thunders to wake up the bride for a revival. Right? You see why it took so long to preach the word? It's to try to put the word in to get it ever been into exactly the place it's supposed to be. And to realize that Luther and Wesley and them, see, was partial realization for their day, right? The bride must come forth in the purity of the word. That she can be the word. Because when we go into rapture, it would be capable of taking what's in going into rapture, you know, taking us up like that in a change. That part that's summoned to the last would be capable of being replanted, because it's going to be fully matured word. But it won't be, because we're going up. All right. See, we had to be taken then out of his side at Calvary. Huh? Because we're the seed. We're the ones that's going into the ground. The Holy Ghost never went in the ground. It's the word or seed that was going to go into the ground in the dark ages and then come forth. But see, a promise, the word would come to full maturity again. See, when the book is completed, Then it's sealed. Then the Lamb could take it and break the seal. Now, come on. Well, it's just too much to think about. Why? I'll give you the pulpit. Women, anybody, kids, let you explain it. Come on, I'm not sarcastic, not hateful. It's just truthful. I've studied for 40-something years about a message. Been ridiculed of all forms of trying to preach the word and keep it word, 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 word. And not follow after all of these garbage canned doctrines that went around the message and tried to stay with the word. And been ridiculed and very unpopular around the people of the message for being the fact that I've tried to stay with the word. When you write a document, you know, you're writing a story, doing whatever you're doing, writing a document, and then you seal it, right? You know, it's not roll it up, but it's a seal. It's a signet, a signature. What you're finishing up with, you know, the book is finished. You write your name to it. You're sealing the book. That book is not supposed to be used by anyone else. It's copyrighted and all of those words that you put with it. See, until this book is completely written, it can't be sealed. And until it's sealed, it can't be unsealed. Right? You see why it wouldn't have worked in the days of Luther and Wesley and Pentecost? They were not fully matured word. They had the word of their age. Thank God. They're part of the bride. But this end time bride has got to come back to the pure word. Unadulterated, your prophet would say. From any creed. Look at number 3. Which is taken on the Easter seal. Paragraph 119. He's talking about the seal and the car box and all of the different things. And then it's sealed till its destination. Any seal is finished work. When you write a document, then it's sealed at the end. Never sealed until it's finished. Any document, this is a document, this is the Bible, this is the Word of God. Look at the next one. The Evening Messenger, look what he says. He's talking about each age having a messenger and all coming down. Look what he says. But it was sealed on the backside of the book. The seven seals was on the backside of the book. Now, this was before the seals broke. Remember, this is 11:16 of 63. They opened in March. This is January, but the seals broke in March. Right. Now watch what he says. The seven seals run on the backside of the book. After the book is written. Now is that what I've been saying? After the book is written, then it's sealed back there with seven seals. And no one knows what they are, see, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. But the book has got to be written. Read the breach. And listen to him. The book has got to be completed. It's got to be written. Then it's sealed. See, that's why that you're looking at this and say, well, I didn't know the book was sealed up. Why, I've been able to read it ever since I was in the Baptist church. Why, I got 4 gold stars for reading it in 1 year. Yeah. I didn't know it was sealed. You know, your prophet didn't know it was sealed. I didn't bring that one, but you ought to know it. He thought he preached it in the 50s there. And up in the early 60s of the seven seals. You want them, I can sure supply them. Where he said, I didn't even know the book. Said nobody knew the book was a sealed book. See, we all thought the book was opened. We thought Jesus at Calvary paid the price, opened the book, we can read all of it. Right? Now, is that not the comprehension that you get of most people in the message and the way they are? You talk about a sealed book. What do you mean a sealed book? The book's been opened. Well, Brother Dick, don't you understand it was opened to the prophet in 63? Book ain't sealed no more. I'm sorry. I know that I'm hateful about the things, but telling me whether it's the truth or not. Just because that prophet preached it in 63, you hadn't even heard it until 85 or 90. And yet, the book was opened. It's only open to the prophet. We was talking about it last night. It got over there at the end of it. And Brother Brown said, don't give me questions on anything. He said, I want questions on the seals only. He got his questions, and he was looking at the questions. There was one question asked about the seals. The man of sin sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be as God, was that the first seal? And he said, yes. The rest of it is, should we wear pantyhose? Or what about water baptism? Or what about this? And you know, that's what he come out and said. You know what? He said, it's gone from you. He saw his way, said last night, he saw the questions it would ask, so he knew it was gone from the people. He said, right around the coming of the Lord. But see, did we know when we was an organized religion that there was a sealed book? Even though we could read, there were seven seals, right? But we didn't know the book was sealed. And we definitely didn't know we were sealed with the book. What do you mean? That's making too much out of us. And like Brother Bill said this morning, ain't making enough. See? A sealed book. It's got to be completed before it can be sealed. All the names had to be made manifest on earth. I'm quoting from the Breach. If you'll read it, you'll hear it. All the names had to be made manifest before the Lamb could take the book. See? So then if there's one name left that's not redeemed today, the Lamb ain't left a mercy seat. How close will that be? I quoted it last night, and a brother questioned me about it. So I said, hey, Brother Joe, how about running it up? And Brother Joe went and got it. Brother Brown said, I don't know how many be saved in that last moment to rapture the church. If you can run it up, Brother Joe, bring it on out if you can. I know he can find it in the flash because he found it last night for me. I appreciate these brothers that are sitting around. They can just, Brother Brown said, I don't know how many be saved. We say, oh, no, redemption's going to be over and then all these things are going to happen. Where did you get all those things from? It's because you're already in. And you ain't worried about nobody else. But if you don't get nothing out of the message today, get one thing. The book has got to be completed. Every name has got to be made manifest and redeemed before the book can be sealed up. Got to be a complete book before it can be sealed up. Then it's got to be sealed up before it can be unsealed. Even if you want to leave off the sealing of the book, you know one plain common sense. The book has got to be complete. Every name has got to be there before it can be taken. Even if you don't like my other ways of bringing things, you know it can't be taken until every name is made manifest. Well, then why are we looking at thinking, well, maybe the redemption was over? See, that scares people. And that makes people say, well, I don't know whether to try or not. You see why I'm against those things so much? Because people say, well, I don't know where to try or not. I don't know where to seek God or not. Redemption was over at 63. Well, you know, the brothers know, all the people believe. Six. Yeah. About like we was coming in the back door here to church one time, this brother, he's a good old brother, but we were going to have communion that day, and on the back here, you know, oh, there it is. He got it. Let me get with the part before I won't forget it. We was coming in the door, and this brother, I had brought out the cups, you know, the individual cups. And I know out there are a lot of people, they like, that's all right, we'll take in. Either way you want it. If this church votes to have one cup, we'll have one cup. Votes to have many, we'll have many. You got no problems. But the brother, he said, Brother Dale, all the believers in the message just have one cup. Well, boy, you know, you could spend, well, I could prove this because I knew Brother Moulton and them was there. Brother Thomas and them was there. They took communion at the tabernacle with many cups. I knew all of that. I could argue. But the man that was saying it to me had been to the tabernacle. Knew Brother Branham personally. But he said, all the believers use one cup. I just opened the door and let him go in. I said, we believe a little bit of it around here. I wasn't going to argue with him about nothing. Because there wouldn't be no need of it. But look what he says. This is a message, Christ the mystery of God revealed, 1963, 728, after the seals broke. After this, all of the people saying redemption is over and this, that, and the other. Look what he says, paragraph 227. I don't say there's going to be eight souls saved now. I don't get that all wrong. I never said that. I don't know how many is to be going to be saved in that's the last moment to rapture that little group. It'll be a small group. You say, you mean you still think redemption is for people? I do. Why would I preach salvation if I didn't believe it? Right? But get the point now. The book has got to be completed before the Lamb can take the book. It's got to be the fully matured Word. And you and I are going to have to give birth to that. All right, let's get into the message. Look at number 5, brothers. Brother Bob's back there, I think, with him. Presuming 62, 610, the morning service. Why did we get a bunch of denominations this time out of this revival? We sowed denominational seed. What we need today, brother, you can say what you want to about it. We need the gospel, pure, holy, unadulterated Word of God sown. And when this light comes on it, it'll bring forth that church. God's predestinated, amen. Don't presume about nothing. Take God's Word and move right on. He promised he'd be here. He's here. Amen. Pure and adulterated Word. If that ain't sown down in the bride, where are we going? Look at the next one. Paragraph 412 of Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. Revelation is not known by denomination. He is known by revelation. Excuse me. Revelation. God is not known by denomination. He's known by revelation. Look, God in his body, Christ, and Christ in his body, the bride. Oh, my. God made manifest in Christ. Christ made manifest in the bride. And as God took from the body of Adam the woman, she fell. Then God has took from the body of Christ, his flesh, his body, which is his word, and is bringing a bride out of that won't fall for a denominational creed. No, sir. But she's coming back with a pure, unadulterated Word of God being manifested. That's what's up for me and you to do. Right? These are for me and you to do, okay? Number 7. A lot of these is from the third seal. I said if you go read it. The third seal was 1963, 320, paragraph 97. Now, but God, full of mercy, made a way to redeem that woman. And now he promised her, telling her that sometime in the future, the true word would come to her again. The true word will be made known to her. Now remember that because he promised Christ through the woman, and Christ is the word. All right. So now Jesus Christ, a fulfillment of the promise for it to come, right? But that's not all the promise. Now just keep on going. Number 8. Still on the third seal. Now we notice that God told Eve that after so long a time, the word is coming back to you. Now, how did she fall? I want my class to say it. What did she fall from? What did Eve fall from? The word. Is that right? The word, and God said he'd make a way to redeem her back to the word again. All right. After so long a time, the word would be known to her again. The word would come for that purpose. That's Jesus Christ, right? Go on down to the next one. Still on the third seal. Hold tight now what I'm saying. The word would come for her for one purpose. That was for redemption. All right, but until then, she had a substitute. Now, what's that word? That would work. That would work until the time arrived for the original word. Now, the substitute was the blood of bulls and goats. Right? But now, remember, you're going to come over to church age in just a minute. He told her the word would come to her again. But until that time, he gave her a substitute until that time arrived. So he gave her an offering to make, a substitute for that blood. Now the blood of bulls and goats, but it didn't take away her sin. All right, go to the next. And God has promised, as he did to Eve, he told Eve that there would come a time that the word would come back to her again. Now remember, you remember that, what she lost from? It could be restored, because there's only one thing to restore, and that's the word. So go on to the next. Just getting them lined up. See, here's what we got to do. Now, to save the time in between, I'll be glad to show you these, but if you'll read the third seal, you'll find it. You see, Luther and Wesley had partial realization of the word. All right? Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. They had a substitute. Not a substitute like substituting this for that. The Old Testament was not substituting garbage cans and then the blood of Jesus Christ. It was the blood of the animal and then Jesus Christ with the blood of a human. So in the church ages, it was a substitute. The word for the age was substitute because it was not in its fullness. It was not a fully matured word or seed, so it couldn't go into the ground. But then it's got to come back in the end time to be the fully matured seed in you and I. So here's what we got to do now. What are we to do? Christ the mystery of God reveal what? Well, she's coming back with a pure, unadulterated word of God being manifested. Who's coming back to that? Go to the next one. You must be born again. 61:12-31. See what he knew even back there. Now, false teachers will bring false births. True prophets will bring the word. The birth of the word, Christ. False prophets will bring false births. The birth of churches, the birth of creeds, the birth of denominations and things. See, that's what they bring. Look at the next one. Spoken word is original seed, 62:3-12. Now, for the birth of the word is Christ. Not a polluted with denominations. The early church, no denomination. Just the word of God and spirit irrigated. Brother, God laid the word down like that and the Holy Spirit irrigated. And there she went. She brought forth children, certainly. What do we got to have? Go on down. Birth pains. 65:1-24. Now her messenger is promised in Malachi the 4th chapter. He's promised to do it. And the message is to bring back the word, bring the people back to the word. Birth to be is to be. She's to be delivered of a new birth from according to Malachi 4. That's your and our job. Somebody's got to give birth to the seed before the book can be sealed. And if the book ain't sealed, it can't be opened. All right, look at the next. Drop down a little bit. That's the same one as the paragraph, but it's the same message. Birth pain. The word must deliver the word bride church. This is paragraph 178, coming on down from where we was. The church has got to be delivered out of her, a bride for Christ. Them that fell asleep in all ages will make up that. Bride that come out on the word that they come out on, like from your feet coming to your head, she gets greater, and more you have to have, and so forth. As the body grows up, so the body of Christ grow up. So does the body of Christ grow up. And then finally the head will come to hit. The head will be what? It's linked to the head. We got to be capped off. All right. Brother Branham, quote, said, after the door of the Gentile church is closed, God will anoint a church. He will do in 1 year what theologians has tried to do in 2,000. He's doing it now, he said. So you and I have got to become the Word. It ain't a choice. It ain't a thought or a maybe. We've got to become the fully matured Word. We've got to lay in the presence of the Son to ripen. We can't just keep playing around with it. Look at the seed, not look at the next one. Seed not air with the shuck, 65:18. Pentecost took speaking in tongues. What? They denied the birth of the word. What was the Pentecostals denying? His message. Right? Come on. What was the Pentecostals denying? Azusa Street Pentecost. Is when the message come forth, they denied the birth of the word. Why? Because it's so down in their denomination. That's exactly what it did. It'll take so much of it, but don't take the rest of it. It denied the birth of the word just like Mary did. But watch, there will not be any more organizations after this. All right? Look what he goes on to say there in that message. Mary was not the seed. She was a carrier. Remember, she had the baby inside of her. She was a carrier. She was not the seed. Mary was not. What was Mary? She was a shuck. Read these. Get the message. Seed's not out with a shuck. There's two of them. One's priest and Jeff, and the other one is another. So he's not there with a shuck. And get the message masterpiece. You think I'm so slow? We could spend 3 months preaching on this part here, and maybe I need to, but we don't have time. Get the message masterpiece. Brother Branham, why would he say Mary is not the word or the seed? Because she wasn't. The seed was in her. Azusa Street Pentecost was not the fully matured seed. It was a carrier. Go on to the next one, brother. You may have it up there already because we started out on paragraph 97. If you can't get it off of what's on the message, you never will understand it. So, let me just preach a minute. See, when this thing come forth, Luther and Wesley and them, they were the bride of their age. They were the people of the age. Azusa Street was the bride of the age. But Azusa Street type Mary. Mary was a carrier of the word. The seed was inside of Mary. She gave birth to the seed. That's what the people in the message think. We've got to give birth to the seed, the message. That's fine. That's true. But where's the seed coming from? Well, what do you mean, brother? We give birth to Jesus Christ. Well, where's Jesus Christ? He's in his bride. You give birth to the Word. I've preached on these things many times to you. We must give birth to the Word, yes. That's fine. But then we must become the Word. Because there's no carriers past Mary. Mary was the life's carrier. She carried the seed and gave birth to it. Azusa Street, your prophet says. They gave birth to Jesus Christ, right? But it would just be a baby form. See, you and I must become that Word. And it must be completed. Then once the book is completed, then it'll be sealed. So nobody will be able to understand it. And once it's sealed, it can be broken. It'll only be broken to the bride. See, Luther and them couldn't stand up here and try to find their name. They couldn't find the plan of redemption to get this body because they believed in getting a new one. We don't believe in getting a new body, do we? We believe this body is redeemed. But see, you and I, the book has got to be complete. Now, have you listened to the whole message? I'll review in a second. See, then the book has got to be completed. Every name that would ever be in the book has got to be made manifest on earth, but not just manifest on earth as a person, but manifest then by the new birth in that person. There is your name in the book. Are you with me? There's your name in the book. And the book has got to be completed. Then the Lamb can take the book and loose the seals. Because we're the book. Now, did I end up Wednesday night? Was that one of them? Do you see why then that when we leave out of here in a rapture, those two prophets will take this message and deliver it to Israel. Not Brother Branham coming back and do it. No, Moses and Elijah. They'll take this message. Go in the seal book right over in the last of it and read. The prophet said they'll tell them, you missed it. You turned down the opportunity to be the bride of Christ, the children of God. But said the Gentiles has received it. Now they've gone in a rapture, and you are in a tribulation period because of that to be purged. Do you think that we're not going to be made known to Israel? See, I am not in a garbage can with others that said, one brother said that it'd be a Gentile bride and a Gentile prophet that would go to Israel. That'd be the two witnesses. I told him, no, sir. I'm sorry. I said, Brother Brown said it'd be two Jews. You don't believe it could be a Gentile bride and a Gentile prophet? I said, no, sir. I said, that's contrary to the Bible and contrary to the prophet. I said, it can't be. Well, you know, it didn't make me popular, but that's all right. I just said it, and I believe it. But you see, they're going to tell them Jews. You know, like we all sit around and tell. You know, I've heard the stories ever since I've been in the message. But you know, Paul and Peter and them, one day when we'll get there, they'll say, Chris, what age did you come out of? I come out of Laodicea. I took a change of the body. Like the brother said last night, I think it was Bill, wasn't it? Somebody was saying, or Wade, one. They'll say, sit down right here beside of me. I need about 5 million years to talk to you about what you went through. Because all I had to do was just take a stand and give my life. But you had to take a stand and live in a world that was organized religion to every core and everything fighting you and you become the Word. And we were waiting on you to do that. See, they without us cannot be made perfect. Do you understand what I'm getting at? But see, everybody thinks redemption is over 63 because the Lamb left the mercy seat. And they'll tell you for sure. They'll say, no, I don't believe redemption was over now in 63, but that's when the Lamb left the mercy seat. Now you show me that. If what I said is right, then the Lamb is still on the mercy seat. Not because of my family or anything like that or something private, but because of the Word. Lamb will stay on that mercy seat until redemption is over. And then he can take you. The sealed book, the Word of God, and show you to Israel as the people of God. We've got to be sealed up before we can be broke. The book's got to be completed before it can be sealed. The mystery of redemption. Well, I thought it was this. I thought, yeah, that's what we've all thought. You know? Brother Brown said, don't say that I said the Lamb left the mercy seat. You see, he knew if the Lamb left the mercy seat, it was no longer mercy. The minute the Lamb leaves the mercy seat, it becomes judgment seat. That's why John was told, when he asked for a kinsman, he said, the line of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to loose the seven seals. Because line is judgment. But when he saw it, it was a lamb, because redemption wasn't over. But one day redemption will be over, and he'll be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And then you and I walk off this earth. See, the book has got to be sealed before it can be opened. It's got to be written before it can be sealed. I keep repeating that because I want that in your mind as you go home. What did he say? You know, your mind just don't comprehend a lot of times. I was saying something last night to one brother, and I said it about four times. And he still quoted back to me every time wrong. I finally told him, I said, hold it. Say what I'm saying. You know. And he said, oh, okay. Then his mind was saying one thing. My mind was saying another thing. He thought he was saying every word I was saying. But he wouldn't do it. But do you understand? The book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne is a book of names. And until all those names come manifest on earth, and this book has the record already written about us before we got here, but it tells the day and the hour we're living and the problems that's going on, then it'll be sealed up. Then the Lamb can take the book and show the complete plan of redemption. Or, in other words, Brother Brown said, when the Lamb takes the book, said he'll claim his right of redemption. In other words, claim you and I. All right. Let's stand. Are you sealed? That's why I've always tried to get you to see. The Holy Spirit is the seal. And you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. People look at you sisters, especially, say, walking down through Walmart's or town or something. They see you with a long dress and long hair and no makeup. They look at you and they say, them poor old people. Poor old people. They don't know that they're looking at a sealed word. They're looking at a word that's sealed up in the heart. That's causing you to act that way. If it's not, you're just doing it because your husband wants you to or whatever. But when you can really see it. The book is sealed, and we're sealed with the book. What we got, right? $246. Do you have a need? Come and let's believe. Let's see. A heart that's weary can one with each of your belongings, okay? Let's believe it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our sister's going and the boy's going to Zimbabwe. So we pray and lay our hands upon these prayer clothes that you'll take care of them. Give them a safe journey there and back in Jesus' name. That he will abide. Anybody else? Where is your heart, oh pilgrim? Father, in Jesus' name, we send these prayer clothes for what our sister is asking for. All is well in Jesus' name. Do you know? Have you heard? Lord Jesus, our sister has a need for this prayer cloth. And what she's asking for is a finished product. So now she delivers this. May she see the full effect of it in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Pilgrim. World is not. Everything will be all right. Lord Jesus, you heard our sister. So we just send a great Holy Spirit there to take care of all things. And there's no problem with distance. They called and they asked. And we believe. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? The appointment. And you cry, who understands your heartache, who dries the tears from your eyes. Amen. Do you know? How about it? Anybody have a need? Do you know, my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide? What about it? You have a need? You have a need, just come and let's believe. I like the way Brother Bill says it. He said, just a simple prayer. You know? I've seen him in years past when he had a whole lot more emotion than you saw today whatsoever, and I'm sure he'd still be that way in some ways, but he's settled down to where he's just praying and speaking the word. And I believe that. Because I believe the Word, don't you? Amen. Thank God for His Word. Let's sing one more before we go. What do we got? Jesus.
Name above all names. Beautiful Savior. Lead me astray. God is with us.
What about a Redeemer and Savior? But what about everything waiting on you and I? Everything's waiting on the end time bride to become the Word. The fully matured Word. Seed's not going in the ground this time, going in a rapture. Glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God. Living Word. Father, we thank you for today and the opportunity we've had, and we pray that you'd just bless us now as we go, Lord, and dedicate our brother and sister's home, and we pray that you would always be there in the home and just bless and guide each one. Remember the needs of each one and have your way with all of us. Forgive our sins. Take care of everybody on the highway. May we all be together as one in you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now make sure you follow somebody or know where you're going to where we can go over and dedicate our brother and sister's home. Amen.